Welcome to Profit Boss Radio, where successful women have paved the road to their own financial freedom. Each week, your host, Hillary Hendershot, financial coach, money mindset expert, and experienced wealth manager, will help you discover the keys to the wealth and peace of mind you want and deserve in her no-nonsense and authentic style. Starting right now.
Hello, Profit Boss. This is Hillary Hendershot, your host. I just got back from New York City, an amazing private event led by Farnoosh Torabi. I've had her on the show. She was my guest in episode 31 of Profit Boss Radio. She's also the host of the So Money podcast, and she writes monthly for O Magazine. And basically, we sat in a room together for a couple of days in Manhattan, and she taught me and five other incredible business owners everything she knows about book publishing. She's published three books. And there's a book in me. And now I have a pretty darn good idea of the title and the story and the chapter headings, and I'm excited. You know, you have that experience when you know you want to do something, but you don't know how or what to do, and it's frustrating. So getting out of that frustration is just very exciting. And the bad part is that it can take up to 2 years to get a book out if you publish traditionally. So there's nothing happening anytime soon, but I wanted to share that with you. So my husband and I went to New York City together, and that means the baby stayed in San Jose. And let me tell you, getting full-time baby coverage is no small or inexpensive feat, but we did it, and I'm just so grateful to the friends and family who helped. So let's get to today's episode. If you just started listening recently, I do three types of episodes. I do solo episodes where I talk about my insight into money and investing as a certified financial planner. I do a type of episode I call Everyday Heroines, where real women tell their money stories and I interview experts. Sometimes they're money experts, but often not. And in that case, what I want for you is to glean principles and tools for your money life from what these experts have to teach. Today's episode is an interview with a woman named Wendy Walbridge. I met Wendy several years ago when I attended a TEDx event that she helped found and produce. That event is TEDx Sand Hill Road Women. And if you don't know what Sand Hill Road is, it's basically the Wall Street of Silicon Valley. That's literally the road where the most prestigious venture capital firms are. And it's like where everything is happening in this land of many dollars called Silicon Valley. So Wendy founded this TEDx event for women, and I attended. And anytime a woman has built a community, I pay attention because it takes something spiritually, psychologically, energetically to build a community of women that perseveres. And so I always want to be around that. And she wrote a book, and I ran into her at an event this past spring, and I asked her to come on the show and talk about her book. So sometimes my interviews with guest experts are very tactical. Like next week, we're having Dr. Wade Fow, who is not only the first male guest on the show, very exciting, but he's also this guru in the financial planning industry. And that interview is all about specific things I want you to know about money and investing. But today's interview is not like that. See, many of you have specific questions about money you want answered, and that's all fine and good, and I'll answer those tactical questions for you. Tactics are important. I'll answer them here or come over to the Facebook group and I'll answer them there. But really, Profit Boss, my friend, my most valuable work is not in giving you the very next action to take. My most valuable work is training your brain to prepare you for financial freedom. And those conversations are philosophical and they're high level and they're mind expanding. I want you to get through tomorrow and next week, sure. But this is your wealth mastermind, and I am planting seeds that are going to grow your possibilities exponentially. We are actually expanding your mind because it's your mind that created your current financial results and your mind that will create your future financial results. This interview with Wendy is about congruence. It's about living in harmony in your life. It's about finding your way as a woman in a world that rewards the characteristics of traditional masculinity. But really, it's about shifting the paradigm of your financial struggle. Whatever is your stumbling block or your struggle is actually the key to your success. And that's what Wendy has to say today. Many years ago, and many of you have heard this story, I was financially bereft, debt up to my ears. I pulled my silver BMW convertible that the bank owned and I drove up to the gas pump. And when I put my credit card in the slot, I got declined. And then next one was declined. And then next one was declined. And I didn't have any cash in my wallet. And there were no dollars left in my bank accounts. My financial struggle came to a head quickly because I spent myself right out of resources. And I had to leave that BMW at the gas station. And as I walked home, ashamed and embarrassed, I decided that overspending was not going to be my Darth Vader anymore. Not my cancer and not my burden to bear. I took that struggle and I used it to succeed. I decided my life was going to be a different way, and that decision began my journey. And I could not have imagined that day that I'd one day tell you that story of my financial failure without shame. I could not have imagined that I'd host a show about money and have a successful business that I love. I did know on that day that I had decided to figure it out, whatever it took, to be financially free, and that's your opportunity. And that's just such a bigger conversation than how to open a Roth IRA, right? And that's what lights me up about Wendy's story and book and framework, is that she's empowering you to have your struggle be your salvation. So today, after you listen to this interview with Wendy, I want you to come over to hillaryhendershot.com/profitboss. Come to that private Facebook group that way by going there. And tell me what struggle you're currently facing that is going to be your keys to the kingdom. You can get support and accountability and advice that way. You can also grab a copy of Wendy's book, Spiraling Upward, The 5 Co-Creative Powers for Women on the Rise, by going to hillaryhendershot.com/41. Enjoy today's episode. Wendy Walbridge, it's an honor to have you on Profit Boss Radio. Thanks for being here.
It's my pleasure, Hillary. Thank you for having me.
Wendy, would you share with us a little bit of your personal journey that led you to the Spiral Up process?
Sure. I would say that it's been a long process that led me here, but because ultimately it's been about both integrating my masculine strengths and discovering more of my feminine strengths and the integration of those. But I would say in my personal story is that I was full throttle ahead in my 20s, creating a company in a space that wasn't really established yet, which was the training and coaching space, with two physicians, medical doctors. And we wanted to bring the tools of the human potential movement into business, and specifically into healthcare at first. And we were so, gung-ho, as you are in a startup. And I was working really hard and playing hard at night. And one of the doctors wanted to marry me, and I was dealing with that and not sure if I wanted to. But I lived in a beautiful home overlooking the city, San Francisco, and had a lot of things looking like they were right. But at the same time, I wasn't feeling really like they were right. There was some part of me that felt like something was missing, which I later discovered was, a symptom of the scarcity mindset that we can often have in life. No matter how good things are, they can look like they're not good enough. Anyway, so we were full throttle ahead and working really hard and burning the candle at both ends. And one morning, I woke up and I couldn't move. I couldn't lift myself out of bed. And I was quickly diagnosed with a life-threatening blood disease called lupus. And I was told that I would have it for the rest of my life, and that the medication that they needed to give me, which really changed who I was and what I thought about and my ability to sleep, I would be on that for the rest of my life. And so it really sent me on a journey of wanting to change everything and seeing, like, I knew that, if you live in Marin County, everyone tells you, if you haven't figured it out yourself, that you are part of whatever it is that you create in your life. So at first, I was really convinced that there must be something wrong with me. If I had this blood disease, then there was, in Marin County, or a lot of people in the early transformational movement believed that you create your reality. So I was blaming myself, combine that with my Catholic upbringing, and it was like brutal. So I thought I had to change, fundamentally some part of myself that created this horrible experience in this disease. So I changed everything. I left the doctor. I quit my job. I actually ran off with a guy that had a motorcycle, and I just tried to change everything in my life. But then eventually I saw that it was a deeper process to really understanding who I was. And it made me more loyal and committed to wanting to live my purpose, because I didn't really know if I would live a long life or if I would be, if I would have this forever. I mean, I was not convinced that I would have the lupus forever. And as it turns out, I didn't. After 14 years with this disease, I had a kidney transplant. My kidneys, I lost my kidney function and I was on dialysis, and then I had a transplant, and it changed my life forever completely. It was like getting a new life, and it's been a miraculous and amazing adventure, but it's really made me live sort of true to myself and, you know, caring about what has meaning and purpose.
Okay. And so how did what you learned through the illness, and by the way, a close family member of mine has lupus, and so I have a sense of what that is, and I'm sorry that that happened to you. How did the lessons that you learned through that illness lead you to the lessons of the book?
Yeah. Well, I think all of us, you know, that's a serious pinch, I would call it. Like, that's a serious and intense kind of opening when you have something that heavy that comes into your life that radically changes it in a matter of hours. Mm-hmm. But I think everybody experiences something in their life that is equally jarring. It doesn't have to be a blood disease or a transplant or anything like that. It can be not getting the job that you want or the promotion. It can be falling out of love. It can be losing someone that you love. It can be not feeling recognized by your peers. It can be so many things. And we feel those on a deep level. And when things don't work out the way we want them, we can either blame or become a victim, or we can look inside to see how we can take responsibility for what's happening on some level and then work with it. So for me, it was a constant questioning of, like, who am I and what do I want? And if this is my life, how will I lead it? And how could I include what's happening and also be successful in my own way? So I think that's the beginning of a journey, when you get awakened by something that doesn't go the way you want it to, or disappointed, or have a setback. Any of those can be openings to start taking responsibility for how you want your life to be.
And one of the things that you said and were talking about in your TEDx talk was about the maps that we as women follow in our lives. And I think, and forgive me if I say this wrong, but how we sometimes try to follow the male map when what we should be doing is following the female map. Did I get that about
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you totally got it right. You know, the masculine map, well, let's say, and I don't mean by that gender, I mean the masculine by,
sure, of course,
you know, that we've all inherited, really, because men were there first in terms of defining how work is and what's important out in the world. You know, you can call it adaptive leadership. Women have adopted male behaviors to fit in advance in the male hierarchy. But that map is really one about, I call it getting all A's, you know, accomplishments, acquisitions, approval. Orienting ourselves toward getting all A's is a linear path. You know, it's get your diploma, then get your job, then find the partner, then get the house. It's not going to ever deliver to us the fulfillment and meaning that we seek as human beings, but women even more so than men in most cases. And so it's really great when you have these divine interruptions, whatever they may be, like I said before, setbacks, disappointments, jarring experiences. They can even be awe. I say ows and ahs. They can be awesome experiences where we meet someone who opens up our world, or we hear some lesson or learn from a teacher and or find our purpose. But these things take us out of the linear map and into the vertical map, which is like exalted. It takes us up to this higher perspective where we see, you know how you have something bad happen to you and then you go, you know, I wouldn't wish it on anyone else, but it gave me this new perspective in life and I now see things differently. I see my priorities. I know what's important. I think everyone's had some experience that's brought them to that vertical perspective, connected to their highest self. I call it the VIP, you know, your values, your inner strengths, and your purpose. And so it's not about living only in the vertical realm, but integrating those insights from that inner knowing part of ourselves that sometimes we get from ows and sometimes we get from ahs into our linear path that we want to do, because accomplishment is very rewarding and it develops our masculine strengths of discipline and effort. And we're driven in a way that is very accomplishment oriented and achievement oriented in a good way. But if we're only that, we just dry up. You know, it's just not enough for a feminine being.
Yes. And in your book, Spiraling Upward, you talk about the three turnings of the spiral. Can you describe what those are? Because I think this is aligned here with this conversation we're having.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me just say that when you integrate the feminine energy of your true desires and your feelings and what calls to you that you get from connecting with the vertical realm with your daily, you know, doings, like what it is you're up to in the world, that is, if you track that path from the vertical to the horizontal in an upward movement, you see an upward spiral, which is where the idea, the spiral up, comes from. There is a force that we all have access to that wants us to be more fulfilled in life and to bring more goodness, truth, and beauty into the world. It's what lights us up. And so the three turnings are, the first turning is really when we're kind of caught in an automatic living where we're sort of in the linear path, consumed by wanting to just get the promotion or be as good as someone else or prove something. It's often about, you know, we're motivated by this energy inside of ourselves that wants us to prove that we're good enough. And that's the ego. And it's good, it's fine, but you want to grow out of that enough to move out of that first loop of the spiral and into the second loop where we're really about, how do I evolve as a human being? You know, what will make me happy? How can I have more fun? You know, how can I merge my gifts and talents with something that's in the marketplace that will reward the specific gifts and talents and abilities that I have? That's a real, it takes introspection in the second loop, in that second turning. That's when we have to do the work of self-discovery and to find that marriage between our inner gifts and our, in the outer world.
Yes. And I think there's this also a marriage between work on the interior and work on the exterior, because there are some things in life that are very practical, very hands-on, and you can't introspect forever, right?
Absolutely not. Yeah.
It becomes this strategy game. If the masculine map is about those hands-on practical achievements, then the feminine incorporates them. Who knows when? I'm not sure how we know when to accomplish those things, but we figure it out along with this journey of knowing yourself. Yes?
Yes, yes. So everything is giving us information all of the time. You know, it's kind of like the universe is in relationship with us.
Yes.
So like you said, it's real tangible stuff. I mean, you get information from a job that you have, whether you like it or not, whether they like you or not, whether it's producing the kind of income that you need. There's communication going back and forth between you and the world all the time. And it takes some ability to be able to develop an interpretation of that information without making up negative stories about yourself. So that's another conversation. But what you're saying is there's very tangible information that we're getting all the time and we have to make use of it.
Mm-hmm. And pay the bills.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, great. So, and what do you do if life never brings the first turning?
Well, you know, I really feel like everybody every single day has, we're getting, I call them emotional pinches, or I call them knots, K-N-O-T, but it's really N-O-T, when we're not enough, or we're feeling, you know, we're feeling not enough, or we're feeling pinched in some way. Every single time we are in that situation, we're being invited to expand to another level of who we are. It's always about, you know, it's like our curriculum, our personally designed, customized curriculum is right there for us all the time.
Yes.
Just a matter of paying attention.
It's wherever you get stuck.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I often have these philosophical existential conversations on this podcast, and I think they apply, it's obvious to me how they apply to people's financial lives. But, you know, just to bring it home for people, wherever you're struggling, whether that's thinking you don't have enough or thinking you have too much money or that you can't make money work in your family unit or context, that there always seems to be drama or misunderstandings or conflict. This is exactly what Wendy is talking about, is life is giving you the curriculum. And so it just takes new thinking sometimes and often new strategies and tactics to get through it.
Yeah, I think one of the things that really helps people to find out, and honestly, you know, this is like the answer on some level to so many painful moments that we have like that you're saying, where either we have a lot and yet we somehow don't feel like we deserve it, or we can't really hold it. You know, we just, and by hold it, I mean like we can't, there's a part of us that feels like we don't want other people to know, or we don't think we've really earned it, or, and on the reverse, feeling like we're always, we don't have enough, or we just feel like we'll never have enough, or there's a scarcity mentality. So here's the thing to know about that, is that it's a universal core wound, so to speak, about having this trance of scarcity. It's totally normal to feel that way, but our work is to not believe it, to not buy into it, to work on those beliefs that tell you that either you don't deserve it, or that you will never have it, or that you don't have enough. Because only when we start focusing on the enoughness that we have, can we really find oceans of energy to do more with what we have and produce more in the world. It's focusing on the negative is the job of the ego. It's just the way the ego works. It's called a negativity bias in brain science. It's the way the mind works to look for what's not enough. You know, because if you go back to way, way back, you know, when our brains developed, when there were lions and tigers and bears, we had to remember where the lion was. So the way the brain developed is it has a negativity bias. It etches deeply anything that's negative. Even, you know, if you think about it, if you've ever had a negative experience with a dog, that's going to far outweigh any positive experiences you've had with the dog. And that's true with experiences with money. That's true with experiences with relationships. It's true. So we watch out for that. And yes, by keeping it forefront in our mind, we attract it. So it takes discipline and rigor and commitment to work on the fact, not taking it personally that we don't feel enough or we don't have enough. That's so not, it's not about you. It's not personal. It's not your fault. It's just something that we each have to take responsibility for shifting on a daily basis, sometimes on an hourly basis, until our groove in the way that we think is more about appreciation, gratitude, seeing what's enough. And eventually you will look that way. You will be able to see that way more often. At least that's true for me.
So you can learn or train or habit yourself out of it or away from it.
That's the good news, is that the brain is plastic, and we actually do have the opportunity and really the responsibility to train ourselves about where our attention is going, because everything is about attention. That's the first co-creative power in this book. You know, where we place our attention is our choice. And you can either place it on what's missing, or you can place it on what's enough. And it has a big cascading effect in your life.
Beautiful. So then let's talk a little bit about that surrender to a larger vision. You know, tell me if you agree, until you're able to surrender the third turning that you talk about to that bigger vision, life can be characterized in between acceptance and resistance. But then you talk about this acceptance of a higher calling, right? So how do people find that so we don't send them off into meditation land or something like that?
You mean not giving them something that they can't really make use of?
Well, it gets too introspective and not, no results produced.
Right. Well, let me see if I am in alignment. If I understand what you're saying, when you say giving yourself over, here's what I think about it, is that a lot of our life is about, we start out thinking, what do I want from life? What do I want to, you know, get out of life? And we're constantly upping the bar in terms of what we want next. It's like, as soon as we accomplish one thing, it's not enough. We want the next thing. And that's also how the brain works. It's okay. That can't be your complete experience, or it will be very unsatisfying.
It's never enough. And it's like, yeah, the very definition of the word success in some way involves it being tomorrow.
That's right. I like that.
Not today, right? Success is never today. So yeah, sure. It's never enough. Go ahead.
So the when you get that we're really in relationship with life, which is the feminine, it's about the principle of relatedness and connectivity. We also get that the universe is telling you what it wants from you. So it's not so much about what do I want from life, but what does it want from me? And when we sync up with that, we start to see the beauty of surrender. There's parts of life that require that we let go of control a little bit and open up to letting go of your own agenda enough to see what is right in front of you that's asking for you to bring forward something that you have to give that will bring you to the next level. So it sounds a little esoteric what I'm saying. Let me see if I can...
How do you connect up with that?
Yeah, I give you... So in regard to my work, I work one-on-one with executives in coaching situations or with groups of women and men, depending on what program I'm doing. I'm always listening for like, what are their needs and how can I use my gifts to meet those needs? And that's where it syncs up and it's really fulfilling, because you have to be willing to like listen to your customers or listen to what's around you or listen to where is that unmet need in the marketplace that is an opportunity for me to give the thing that really lights me up to give. So that's one way of looking at it. And another way of looking at it is your life will produce opportunities for you to that will seem unexpected and sometimes unwanted. I mean, you know, I had shared with you earlier that one of the experiences that has happened to me is I lost my sister 3 years ago and her son needed a home. And it came to me that it was mine to do. So I realized that I was going to become a mother instantaneously. And here comes this kid who's 12 years old. And it was not in my plan. I'd never planned really to be a mother.
There was a knowing in you.
Yeah, there was a knowing. I could not resist it. And believe me, I tried. There was like a year of real deliberation where it was up in the air. And I had to do some work on myself to really get that, you know what, this is what I'm being called to do. And I think we can find those things in our life just by looking at like whatever job we have, a situation that's inside of that job or work situation that's not comfortable, but it's inviting us to come more fully into our good and highest self in order to resolve or make the situation better. The things that we complain about in life that we don't like are actually asking us to bring something to it that will make it better. Does that?
So it's that thing that's already there.
Yeah.
That you already know about, but you're resisting or resenting or complaining about like that.
Totally. That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I think we sometimes give that away to other people like, oh, someone else should fix that. And it's just not working for me, or, you know, just sitting back and judging it. But maybe you could ask the question is like, what is this calling for from me? And in the giving of it, we expand and we move it to a whole nother level in the spiral.
Got it. Really great. Can you explain what you mean in the book by co-creative and the five co-creative powers?
Sure, I would love to. So the co-creative stands for that. You remember earlier when I was talking about having a blood disease and thinking I created it? And that's not really true, that we don't really create these hardships in our lives. But there is a way in which we can take responsibility for those things enough to be able to say, okay, so this is in my life and I'm going to make the best of it. I'm going to see what I can do to take it to the next level. Co-creative just represents the fact that there is a force or a power for good that runs through each of our lives that is urging us to expand into the next level of who we are. we can co-opt that power to express ourselves at higher and higher levels. And I break it down into five co-creative powers so that women can really identify how to access their true power in the book.
Co-opt means to grab onto or to utilize. Well, it's like if I plug my computer into the big data network, I'm co-opting the data network. Do I have that right?
Yeah, I think that is. I've never heard it described that way, but okay. I that pretty much describes it.
Okay. I just want to make sure because this is powerful. Okay, go ahead.
So if you think about it, we have these five co-creative powers that we use every day, but we use them sort of haphazardly and not really with a lot of consciousness mostly. So what I mean by that is if I'll give you the five. So it's energy or your presence. Mm-hmm. It's mind or the way you think, feelings, speech, and actions. Now those sound like everyday things. However, when they're imbued with both a feminine receptivity in terms of tuning into what's around you, taking in information, being connected to your heart, as well as a very assertive, proactive intentionality of the masculine, they suddenly become these very powerful forces. So energy, for instance, how you show up for other people, your presence creates a cascading effect in everyone that you touch. And you can either be kind of haphazard about that or accidental with it, or kind of be at effect of your moods, for instance. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I'm having a bad day and kind of like being contracted. Mm-hmm. Or you can let that spiral move through you and look at, I need to be conscious and intentional about my energy and how can I bring this situation or this interaction to a higher level with the way that I'm showing up. So energy, you know, mind, we are constantly having a choice of what we're focusing on, like I said before. And it's a real skill to be able to be in inquiry about the thoughts that we have rather than just being the robot or the puppet to whatever thoughts are scrolling through our minds. And it takes some skill and to be intentional and also self-aware. I say that the formula for transformation is self-awareness plus self-compassion. Mm. You know, the Buddhists call it cold eye, warm heart. If you are just self-aware, you can be in your judging mind and it will never allow you to really change. You know, Carl Rogers, the great psychologist, said he called it unconditional positive regard. And he coined that term to describe what a therapist needed to have for the patient in order for that patient to have the most amount of change possible. But unconditional positive regard is that self-compassion that we need to have for ourselves when we're self-aware so that we want to change instead of just being down on ourselves for some habit or pattern or self-sabotage thing that we do. It's that combination of self-awareness and self-compassion or unconditional positive regard that isn't just natural. It's a stand that we take about ourselves that allows us to transform the most.
This is deep. And I don't want to interrupt you because you have three more to go, right?
Yeah. So the co-creative power of feelings, you know, I think I said before, if you have a negative emotional experiences have the 10 times the power of memory in ourselves than positive ones. So it's natural that we would worry a lot or think, what's the worst thing that could happen? But if we can allow ourselves to have our feelings and be willing to be intimate with them and let them in and let them out and not be seized or gripped by them, we can really gain a lot of insight and information about what we want and what we don't want. And it gives us incredible information about what to go towards and what to say no to. So being emotionally intelligent or having emotional agility is super necessary for the world that we live in today. It allows us to read situations better and really know what our needs are. And in companies, it's incredibly not talked about feelings. And it's just an untapped resource that both men and women really need to have more skillfulness with. And then the co-creative power of speech is really our ability to say no when we mean no, say yes when we mean yes, be able to articulate our value, be able to really speak up and have our voice and be authentic and not overthink and over worry about things, to be able to just show up as ourselves. Uh-huh. So that's speech. And then co-creative power of action is this ability we have to not just take actions out of what is predictable or what we think we want from a limited place, but to really take actions in alignment with who we want to be in the world and to be bold about it, to take risks.
Actions aligned. Yes, I'm writing this down. This is fantastic. Oh. So let me first try to put this in the realm of money for people. It is a show about money. I hope it's clear to everyone listening how all of these things apply so directly to the areas of life that you're working on, especially money. And then I'm going to ask you, Wendy, for some examples of women who embody these or embodied after possibly working with you, these five co-creative powers, so we can kind of bring it home and make it tangible for people. But, you know, these co-creative powers, your energy and presence, your mind, your feelings, your speech or dialogue, and your actions really are the areas where I focus with people when I go to work as a coach to transform their money life. Mm-hmm. And I say, you really can't have a fulfilled or fulfilling financial life. Let's say you can't experience financial freedom. You don't actually have a financial life. You have a life. You can't experience financial freedom if you aren't able to spin all of the plates. So just like you can win the lottery and lose it all, or you can get a job and lose it. You can get fired. You know, the job of your dreams. Anything can be undone if you don't keep everything working for you. And often when people come to me, I think the most common area that's out for people is actions. Mm-hmm. And that's especially, I think, prevalent with women. I don't know if you find that, but we love to think and talk and feel, and then we get stopped when it comes to asking for a raise or taking the actions it would take to make more money and like that. That's kind of what I was thinking about. Is there something else in that realm that you see now? And it's okay if you don't.
That I see in regard to what stops women or?
Yeah, or anything you would say about this set of distinctions in the context of a woman's financial
happiness? Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting when we look at the fact that women aren't getting paid what they deserve in businesses. And there are a lot of reasons why that's still happening and that there's a pay gap. And, you know, it's interesting to me that there are a lot of things on the outside that need to change in terms of the way the organizations are structured, what being able to really value and reward and recognize feminine contributions and, you know, make that fair in companies. There's a lot of things that need to shift. But also there's things that, like you're pointing out, where the real, you know, rubber meets the road is in our feeling as though we deserve it. And it's great that you work with them on beliefs. You know, people believe stuff like I lucked into my success, or, you know, I must be perfect and do everything right if I'm going to get what I want, which men don't do, by the way. You know, I think it's women are, before women will throw their hat in the ring for a new job, they feel like they have to have almost 100% of what the job description says.
Yes.
But men don't feel that way at all. They'll do it if they have 50% of the stuff or even less. They'll sign up. They'll say, oh yeah, I could do that. And so there's a reason why women have this sort of shooting ourselves in the foot and holding ourselves back from taking bold actions. It's something that we have to work on the inside. It's a lot of belief systems that we've either adopted from our culture or that we've taken on personally. But, you know, it, like I said before, it's so not personal, and it's realizing that those are going to stop us from being able to take bold action. So that's where the real work is.
Yeah, because that's where results get produced.
Yeah.
All right, great. And then can you think of someone that you know that you've worked with whose story you could tell anonymously or not that embodies the five co-creative powers or grew to embody them?
Yeah, there was a woman, there's many of them, and the stories are similar in some ways. Like there's two people popping into my mind at once. There was one woman who worked in a biotech company, and she was very much a star in terms of her results. But her boss came to me and said, you know, I'd really like you to coach her. because she seems to have some kind of an attitude, and you know, it's working against her in meetings. She's kind of negative, or she's got like a sassy attitude that's not really forwarding the conversation. Anyway, as I worked with her, it became clear that she was incredibly a result producer in that company and a star. However, she had internalized some beliefs that people didn't take her seriously. And she was a very cute, you know, her physically, she was very cute. That probably played into it a little bit in terms of perhaps the way she was picking up information from people. But it was a belief she had internalized somehow. And because of that, when we have beliefs that work against us, we will do behaviors that actually create that reciprocal response where we'll keep the cycle going. So for her, she was believing that people don't take me seriously. So then she was being kind of negative towards executives with an attitude, and then they would take her less seriously. You see how it's a cycle, sort of this spiral cycle. So once she examined the fact that it was her who needed to endorse herself, and she had to really look at the fact that she had accomplished a lot and that she was worth taking seriously, and she was being taken seriously in a lot of ways, she was able to shift that and start coming from this sentence that she made up, which is, I have the heart of a lion. And in that shift, she started to show up differently at work. And there were many other behaviors that she took on that were more representative of her self-esteem that she was newly developing. And then this woman ended up at the top of her company.
Oh, funny.
Yeah. She actually, you know, is one of the leaders in that company now. So this happens again and again. There was another woman that was from a different company, and she didn't believe in the power of intention, and she did not believe in any of the stuff that we're talking about in terms of changing your mindset and working with your feelings to be able to have more powerful speech and actions. But she tried it out. And she had been really frustrated because she wasn't getting a promotion. She'd been turned down a few times. And in the course of working with her in a 6-month coaching series with a group of women, she got 2 promotions, 2 invitations to take on promotion jobs, and totally saw the power of shifting herself on the inside, the consciousness, in order to get a result on the outside.
So at this point, you must have put hundreds, if not thousands, of hours into your work with these groups. Is that, because I think it's a community event, does that become a revenue strategy for you at some point? Do you leverage that in your professional life?
I think so. I mean, for me, I think one of the biggest benefits of having the community that I had, I think that was attractive to my publisher when I was looking to get my book published. And at the same, I didn't really think it was going to, I didn't plan it that way, but it came out that way, that was something that they found positive, because, you know, when you want to get your book published, that one of the first things you should know is that you need to have a platform.
Right.
And that's what they look for. So I should have probably known that would have been a good thing, but I wasn't really conscious of it. I was doing it because it's fun for me. I really love putting together these events and doing it with a team of women, and the kind of community that we develop in that experience is incredibly rewarding. Women get jobs from coming to these things. They meet mentors. I've seen at least 3 women I know of, just that I know of, that have gotten jobs from coming to these events. But more what it is it's heartening. You know, it's such a missing piece, community. Like, where we need to go next, we really cannot go alone. And the masculine model is about slugging it out, pushing through, sucking it up, and doing it by yourself. And it's not the way. Where we want to go next, we have to do kind of hand in hand. Mm. So finding a community for yourself where you can feel like you're related, you feel like you're contributing and receiving and getting uplifted by, is an essential ingredient for women today. It's just essential.
And that really is the principle upon which I founded Profit Boss Radio. I mean, really, because
yes.
I don't see those communities happening for women in the topic of money.
Oh my gosh, so totally. You've hit a hot point, and I'm sure your success is shown because of that. You know, I love this story. I don't know if you ever heard of Wangari Maathai. She's she's a great example of the divine feminine, this principle of connectedness. She planted over 45 million trees in Kenya, and she's no longer alive. But what was interesting is that back in when she was beginning this organization that planted all the trees, she noticed that women would go to the water, and in Kenya, they would have to fill those big jugs and carry them back on their heads. And because there were no trees, they would hurry back and forth, and they lost the sense of community. And it was becoming more and more of a desert. There was no water. And then they, as they planted trees, they had places where they could slow down and come back into community. And they started to share ideas for improving their situation and empowering each other. And so that's where the whole ability to plant all those seeds came from, and getting all those trees planted. It's really about that for us. You know, it may look like it's not a necessity to come together in community, but it really is. It's where, you know, we take these seeds and we bloom them into trees and wonderful things for ourselves through our relationships with each other. Mm-hmm. So I love that you're doing that in your community, Profit Boss Radio. It's a perfect example of taking advantage of this incredible need that women have at this time.
Well, together we can do so much more than we can alone.
Yeah.
And that's like, it's just true. And no matter where you are, your sisters, when in support of you, can help you move forward. So, and thanks for being one of those trees. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. This has been great, Wendy. I'm just so honored that you would come on the show and share about these stories. And you even, so you work with groups of women, right? And I think one of the things you're great at is speaking and facilitating groups. Can you say a little bit more about that work that you do?
Yes, I love working with groups of women. And we now have a women's leadership program that we bring into companies that also has a companion program for men to teach them how to be better inclusive leaders. So the women's leadership program is really about unlocking your power and potential in all the five co-creative powers. And the men's program is about building more inclusive leadership and working outside of the gender boxes that we find ourselves in, to be able to bring the whole conversation to another level about how to work well together with men and women. And I love to come and just talk to women or do workshops inside companies and executive coaching and those kinds of things.
Great. And so if you're listening and you work for a corporation, Wendy, I think, traditionally has worked for large multinational technology companies, but the product, you're not product, you're product agnostic, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right, good. And you also have a free gift for the audience. You have some kind of assessment?
Yeah, there's a 24-question self-assessment that helps you determine your readiness to rise. So if you're looking to get a promotion or just rise in your own self-image and in the eyes of others, it's a really great assessment for being able to look at some of the things that you would need to work on and where you score on that. And you can get that by texting the word spiral to the number 66866. That's the word spiral.
Okay, great. And does it matter if it's caps or anything like that?
I don't think so. And also, you'll get a free chapter of my book, Spiraling Upward, The Five Co-Creative Powers for Women on the Rise.
Oh, very great. So we're going to link to that Readiness to Rise self-assessment in the show notes. If you weren't able to get the text code that Wendy said, we'll print it right there. But it is 66866 and the word spiral. So text spiral to that number. And we'll also link to Wendy's website where you can find more about the workshops and facilitating and coaching that she does, especially with women and some men.
Yes.
Okay. Wendy, thanks so much for being here. I really appreciate your time. Thanks for bringing your learnings and teachings to my audience.
Oh, thank you, Hillary. It's been a total pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, Profit Boss. Yes, you. Lean in here. I've got something to tell you. Do you remember that movie Mean Girls with Lindsay, whatever her name is, and the fabulous Tina Fey? It was all about this group of in-girls, the Plastics. And Lindsay Lohan plays the new girl who wants desperately to be part of the clique. You get the picture. Tina Fey was hilarious in that, by the way. Did you know she wrote it? Anyway, I want to tell you about another group on Facebook. It's nothing like the Plastics. I mean, come on, we're not in high school anymore. And seriously, it's much cooler to lift each other up instead of tearing each other down, don't you think? Because as we all know, as women, it can be tough to know who to trust when it comes to getting real about money. That's why I'm so proud of all the courageous women in the Profit Boss Facebook group. It's kind of like hanging out with your best friends. You know, ladies who've earned the right to be called your friend because you're not afraid to show a little bit of vulnerability. It's like that. And by the way, we let the men join too. So if you want to be part of a group of wholehearted women and men who aren't afraid to grow and support each other, give us a visit and bring your friends. Just go to HillaryHendershot.com/profitboss and you'll immediately be redirected to a place where you can request admission, which we will give you willingly. I'll see you on the inside.
Thank you for listening to Profit Boss Radio, where creating success on our own terms happens every day. You're not alone in your journey to a rich life, and that's why Hillary is here to add value in each and every episode. See you next time on the podcast for women and money.